Morning. We are a welcoming congregation. That's an official designation, not my opinion. You can see the certificate we received from the Unitarian Universalist Association in the lower level entrance to the sanctuary. But what does that mean, and what did it take to earn that piece of paper? The Welcoming Congregation Program was introduced by the UUA in 1990 as the result of a multi-year nationwide study of UU's attitudes concerning sexual orientation. The finding exposed, quote, many negative attitudes, deep prejudices, and profound ignorance, end quote, that resulted in LGBTQ people being excluded from full participation in UU congregations. The Welcoming Congregation Program was a two-year education and discussion program designed to change those attitudes, correct those prejudices, and replace ignorance with knowledge and understanding, and to identify congregations who, quote, had done the work, end quote, and were ready to truly welcome lesbian, gay, and transgender members and staff. With the encouragement of our minister, Jim Bank, UUCSS organized a welcoming congregation committee and began the process in 1994. The first chair was Elmo Miller. I'm going to name some names only because there are people in the room who are going to say, yes, Elmo. So that Elmo. Elmo Miller and his partner, Lillian Mueller, had been active for many years in PFLAG, that's Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. When Elmo and Lillian moved to New Mexico just a few months later, Janet Riley stepped up to keep the process going. They were joined by the Social Action, Worship, and Adult Religious Education Committees, and this combined effort resulted in a robust schedule of events and opportunities for discussion. Here's a sample of the activities. We had a film series with The Wedding Banquet, My Beautiful Laundrette, and many others, with discussions led by Elmo or Lillian or Sandy Dwiggins. A day-long workshop with speakers from PFLAG, short videos, and more discussion. A summer surface featuring coming-out stories from UUCSS members with music by Bread and Roses feminist singers. And I believe that was the first time I saw Beva Brew. Participation in fundraising and service activities benefiting the Whitman Walker Clinic, Food and Friends, and the DC AIDS Walk. We lobbied in Annapolis in favor of the anti-discrimination bills, which extended civil rights protections based on sexual orientation. The Anti-Discrimination Act was finally passed, by the way, in 2001, after 11 years of attempts. Before we strain ourselves patting our own backs, consider this. Although we added a statement of inclusion to our Constitution nearly unanimously, quote, this is from Janet Riley, with little turmoil, by congregational vote in November 1996, the discussions that led up to that moment revealed that many members worried about including LGBTQ members as religious education teachers. A survey done by the 1999 Ministerial Search Committee found that 50% of the respondents believed the church would not accept a gay or lesbian minister. Now, just to translate that, they also asked, would you? So they were saying, I would, but I don't think the church would. How very you, right? But there's also this. The welcoming congregation process did result in genuine learning and change. We learned about ourselves and also about friends, coworkers, and family members who had felt they had to conceal their identities from us. I learned how to respond with love and firmness to someone who expressed discomfort with lesbians within earshot of a lesbian friend. Members of our YRUU were empowered to create a gay-straight alliance at their high school, the first such organization at a public school in Maryland. And for those of us who knew him, no one embodies our collective journey more than the person who created this chalice, Kevin Drury. I'm indebted to Stephanie Hall and to David Miley, whose online tributes to Kevin helped me write his story. Kevin joined UUCSS 20 years ago, just 2 years after our completion of the Welcoming Congregation program. He came to us via Gaia Circle, the pan-pagan group that was meeting here. He was already out as a gay man after a closeted childhood and youth in a conservative family in North Carolina and a stint as a gay-bashing Marine. But at a church meeting about our search for a new minister, Kevin stood up and said that as an HIV-positive gay man, the welcoming atmosphere of the church was extremely important to him, and he wanted us to keep that in mind in the hiring of the new minister. The sky did not fall. From then on, Kevin spoke out fearlessly about who he was, what he believed, or the spiritual paths he chose to explore. He spoke boldly about his concerns and the events in his life. He was finding his public speaking voice and discovering that he had a talent for getting people to listen. The following year, I suggested Kevin as a coming-of-age mentor to my son's best friend, knowing that they shared an interest in graphic arts and design. That experience led him to become a YRUU advisor. And again, the sky did not fall. Kevin followed this new path to the UU Congregation of Las Vegas, where he served as the director of religious education. There, he felt the call to ministry and eventually started the Master of Divinity program at Star King School of Ministry in Berkeley. But in 2009, we learned that Kevin was dying of a neurological illness related to his HIV. He died in August 2009, and one of several memorial services for him was held in the sanctuary. It was pure Kevin. He had planned everything, every part of the ritual, all of the music. To this day, I can't hear "Enter, Rejoice, and Come In" without hearing Kevin's sarcastic, curmudgeonly version, which was, "Enter, sit down, and shut up." I had to bring a little Kevin into the room. He would have been an amazing minister. His fearless, sometimes snarky wit and his appetite for fun would have served him well. He led workshops that began with a huge suitcase full of Legos and ended with beloved chalices that are still being lit across the country. This was his first, created for our RE program. An ardent Harry Potter fan who founded the Star King Quidditch team. Reverend Kevin could explain to people in all good fun why works like the Harry Potter books contain enduring spiritual power and messages of social inclusiveness. In 2010, Star King awarded the Master of Divinity to Kevin Drury posthumously. Kevin's participation in and gifts to UUCS were just part of the blessings, the many, many blessings, and I can see them out in front of me, that came from our engagement with the welcoming congregation process. Thank you.
As many of you know, our previous minister, Reverend Liz Lerner, was a determined advocate for marriage equality. She and several members of our congregation participated in many demonstrations for the cause. Anyone here who was with her back then? Yay, okay, that's great. Most of the rallies were held close to Valentine's Day. After gathering to hear speakers, people would go to their individual delegate's office to gently persuade them to vote for marriage equality. Jim Paoletti told me the story of one delegate's response to meeting Carita and Andrea Waters and their little boy. He was so impressed by their family that he changed his mind to vote for ME, marriage equality, after that. Although D.C. had declared gay marriage legal, it was still not legal in Maryland. The announcement from the Attorney General of Maryland that gay marriages from other jurisdictions were legal in Maryland meant that marriages performed in D.C., where it was legal, would be legal in Maryland. Rev Liz realized that this was an opportunity for couples in Maryland to marry in D.C. and be considered legally married in Maryland. This would be legal until the state legislature in Maryland voted not to allow gay marriage, which was still a possibility. This, as well as several couples asking her to marry them before this opportunity was lost, prompted Reverend Liz into action. She had only a few days before leaving for her sabbatical to marry as many couples as she could. Her sabbatical committee supported her in this endeavor, and they, Ed Johnson, Eric Kleiderman, and Rebecca Wilson Kompatich, all volunteered to organize part of the celebration. The Reverend Lily Mae Henley, minister of the Universalist National Memorial Church in D.C., agreed to host the weddings and the reception. Universalist National was the parent church of our congregation. 10 couples signed up for the ceremony, 6 of whom were members of UUCSS. And I don't know if, is anybody here, were they married? Yeah. Right, didn't see it. Okay. They were lovely in their tuxedos, by the way, those two. Each couple would get a half-hour ceremony, and the first couple starting at 4 p.m. In addition, there would be a reception that lasted from the first couple to the last couple. It was an amazing event. Members from National Memorial helped with decorations, refreshments, and cleanup. UUCSS members brought food and drink, took photos, and provided live music, thanks to our long-term member, the wonderful singer Deborah Thornton. I don't know if she's not here today. Oh, there she is. I'm missing everybody. Okay. It was a culmination of hard work of members of UUCSS and other congregations in the D.C. area. My daughter, Rachel Dwiggins, is one of the many gay people who benefited from everyone's hard work for getting marriage equality approved in D.C. She was married in D.C. when it became possible. I recognized that my daughter was gay when she was 10. She's 38 now. She received terrific support growing up at UUCSS and from her YRUU class, a member of whom is right here. Raise your hand. And from this congregation. And she was married this last September to a wonderful wife who they're now in Japan celebrating their honeymoon.
Morning again, guys. I am Elise Turner, and I identify as a polyamorous demisexual. Yep, and I'm sure many of you, your first thought is, what the heck is that? And I'd be happy to explain later. But today is not about educating on all the new things that are being recognized after the past few years. Today is about how welcoming this congregation has been to those like me and others who are finding out who they are. My family joined this church when I was 6 years old. And growing up in this community, I have always seen positive views on the queer community. Many of you know I'm involved in a bit of activism, but my first taste of activism was one of our Valentine's Day lobby days when I was 11 years old. fighting for marriage equality. There's only two of them, right? There's only two of them. um, And my first lobby day fighting for marriage equality, one of our delegates, Bonnie Cullison, is lesbian herself. So when we got to go and meet our delegates, seeing a lesbian representative there and just being like, you know what we're here for. She's like, don't worry, I'm voting yes. Very magical moment. And that year, while Maryland did not legalize it itself, they at least agreed to recognize it. So forward movement. And we ended up having our 10 wedding ceremony, which Sandy already talked about. I grew up surrounded by the fight for LGBTQ plus equality. And this always felt like a safe space where you could be who you are and love who you love. When I learned about growing up in families, I was not taught the whole boy meets girl, they get hitched and get straight to the baby making. Instead, I was taught that people fall in love with whoever they want to fall in love with. They get married or they don't, up to them. And they could have children, they could not. And there isn't one way to do that. Never being raised on this stereotype, I believe, was a large part of how I became who I am now. I was open to different forms of love and able to find where I best fit. I never felt wrong for searching for where I fit, and that was amazing. People have asked me what coming out was like for me, and I always had to think really hard about it before answering, because I don't recall a moment of coming out. You see, I never had to come out of the closet because the walls were not built around me. The walls of heteronormativity, judgment, or hate. They never blocked me. This community let me be me, and that was beautiful. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Hi. Sorry. Good morning. My name's Lucy Harrelson, and I'm daughter of Jan Harrelson and Deborah Weiner. I grew up in this church, and yeah, like in fact, when I came of age, like Joe Paoletti was my mentor, so. Yeah. In 2010, with the help of this congregation, my mothers were legally married in D.C. The 10 weddings, that was them. Anyway, I couldn't ask for a more supportive community. This church has raised me in an environment where all families are valued and where social justice is a cornerstone of our beliefs. Basically, thank you for a safe space to grow up in while the rest of the world works on getting caught up. And that's all I have to say. So thank you.